Alec McDonald, we spoke yesterday and you said it was going to be a tight game between Ulster and Connacht. 8 points in it at the end, but it was closer than the 8 points led to believe.
Yeah, well, those 7 of those 8 points came in the last seconds of the game, and whenever it was an absolute 5 minutes, and I'd looked at one stage of if Connacht were going to hold out, but I mean, the defence was absolutely, from them, was absolutely superb. And I was talking to some this morning, and I described the last 3 or 4 months as brutal, but in the nicest form of the word, because, I mean, the physical commitment of both sides, i.e. Ulster, to try and get over the line, and Connacht to stop them getting over the line, really had to be seen to be believed. It was really, really superb, and it just showed you what this game meant to both sides, you know. But at the end of the day, Ulster came out 21-11. They had a very, very good, they had a good first half performance, and generally speaking, when it was their coach, I think, accepted the fact that Connacht maybe came a couple bit short. Massive crowd of Connacht supporters there, I have to say, and they really joined in the whole thing, and their support of the team was fantastic, and I must say the reception they gave Rory Best and Darren Kay was brilliant. They were on their feet clapping. At the end of the game, I talked to a few of them. They were disappointed, but they said at the end of the day, Ulster deserved to just about shade the game, and I think that was good, you know. But all in all, a superb performance, and now from Ulster's point of view, they'll have a couple of weeks off and then they head to Glasgow, and you know, with the way they're going at the moment, who knows what can happen.
And we'll touch very briefly on that other game yesterday, Munster and Treviso. A bit too close for Munster's liking, I'd say.
Very much so, and a controversial moment at the very end. I mean, Munster kicked 3 penalties in the second half to scrape through, really, and because I saw the second half virtually, and Benetton were certainly calling the shots. The final penalty that was given, the Benetton guy sort of kicked the ball away, and Nigel Owens, who, while he's one of the greatest referees in the world, loves to be a centre of attention and loves giving these controversial decisions, walked Benetton back, or walked Munster forward 10 metres, and I doubt if JJ Hanrahan would have kicked the original penalty, but he kicked this one, and they were beaten. And, you know, to be honest, Benetton must have felt very, very sore about it, because, I mean, they certainly had give it to Munster, and they on the 80 minutes of play, they deserved to win it. But again, that's Munster. They're never beaten until the final whistle, and that's, you know, that's the way they have been going for so many years.
Now, Alec, we'll turn our attention. We'll do a quick review of the Northwest club's season, and I suppose we'll start with the All-Ireland League Division 2C with OMA and City of Derry.
Yeah, they both teams, I mean, City of Derry came back strong in the last half of the season and were in a bit of trouble, and at the end of the day, of course, there wasn't a lot of points that separated, you know, in the bottom four, but they're still playing Division 2C rugby next year, and hopefully they can build on that. OMA had an excellent season again, finishing fifth, and they won quite a lot of games, finishing up with over 50 points. In fact, they had more points this year than they did last year when they got into the playoffs. There'll be a bit of a turnaround in Division 2C travel-wise for Roma and from City of Derry's point of view. I mean, because Ballina, Malahide were promoted and Sea Point lost out. The three teams now will be Sunday's Wells from Cork, Clonmel and then Enniscorthy, which again is a lot of miles on the road in that one. And just one quick one, Rennie, they won their promotion. They're now into Division 2A, having beaten Greystones 23-20 away in the promotion battle. So well done to them.
Alec, we'll take a look now at the other clubs here in the Northwest, the likes of Letterkenny, Strabane, Inishowen, Donegal Town and Enniskillen.
Yeah, well, I think that the one thing we start with there was Enniskillen. What a fantastic result for them on Easter Monday at the Kingspan, beating Ballyclare, who are probably as good a junior side as there is about, and they certainly will have been delighted by that, and it's great to see that the rugby is flourishing still up at Enniskillen in that particular one. Limavady, they finished third in their league in Championship 2, and you know, maybe next year they're in a better position to push forward. They lost a couple of games, especially to Clogher Valley, so that didn't do them any good. In the Rugby Championship 3, Letterkenny had a very, very good second end part of the season. You know, despite the fact that Conor McMenamin and Rory McGinty went to City of Derry, they still managed to get a lot of games, and I see they won 11 of their games and finished in sixth position, which was excellent. Strabane had a very, very good start, winning 4 matches, but then they fell away badly, and they finished a few points behind, but they would have been disappointed because they would have thought thought that, you know, they would have been keen on that one. Monaghan, of course, they did really well. They came second, but they also won the Gordon West Cup at the Kingspan. So rugby and Monaghan are certainly flourishing. And in any showing in the Rugby Regional West, any showing, they finished second in that league with 22 points. And just one other wee one, underage rugby, which started in Strabane 18 months ago. They got to the final of the under-14 bowl, but Dungannon proved a wee bit too strong, 21-15. So no doubt that if the Strabane club can build on their youth rugby, things will improve.